You're listening to the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, Epity 7.
Epity 70!
Epity 7. You're listening to the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, episode number 70, a very controversial episode. So I appreciate this rumor, but I do not want to forget.
I was just hoping to start some controversy. That's all.
No, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. But this is all you did cut me off right before I got to the one rumor that I actually think is true. Because I think the iPhone Plus, the bigger iPhone, your phablet, as it were, they've built them. They're not going to mass produce them, at least not for a while. What I actually do think is going on is that they're talking about the iPhone Plastic is what it's been nicknamed.
The iPhone Plastic. It's or the 3G.
Yeah, yeah. It's basically a cheap iPhone, and it's a cheap modern iPhone. Now, I don't know what they're going to do to make it cheap, but it's going to be super cheap. Now, I don't know why it might be just a 3GS with a modernized modernized chip in it. I don't know, but the idea is right now and is that they need to, you know, they need to, we've been talking about this forever, they need to sell a cheap iPhone for India and China, and we've been saying that and saying that and saying that, and it's never come true. That's always been the argument for why they need to do it. And the reason why I feel like this for the first time has any validity is actually because Apple has been watching what's been going on with sales in China for the last last 3 months. They saw what happened in the last quarter, and this is the first time that everybody sees the obvious evidence that sales of smartphones is skyrocketing in China, especially China Mobile, and they're not buying iPhones, or they were up until this point. They were buying iPhones at the expected rate as the number of smartphones increased, but the number of smartphones skyrocketed and the number of iPhones sold didn't. And the problem is that they're too expensive. If they buy them subsidized, the subsidized price point is right. Nobody wants to buy them subsidized. They want to buy them outright and then hook up with like China Mobile later. And the problem is that people can't or won't afford the $800 iPhone, especially when there is a Android version that they can't afford that the government approves of that they can easily get from any store. And so for the first time, Apple is actually losing out on sales. And so this is the change that I think is going to happen. I think Apple's going to come out with an iPhone Plastic that for some crazy technological reason doesn't work with American networks. Sorry, can't bring it to America. You guys don't get the cheap iPhone, which is going to make everybody livid. But it's going to be pretty funny because they're just going to say, well, just get the iPhone 4S because that's now free now that we have the 5, the 5S, and the iPhone 4S, which is a compelling argument on Apple's
behalf. Well, it's free on contract. But
right. Right, exactly. And I think basically what you're going to see, I think for the first time, it's like, I think Apple's been watching this. They keep having these different models of cheap iPhones that they produce. How can we get the cost down and yet still have them, you know, deliver the same performance as the higher quality iPhones? What are the different things that we can hedge on? What are the different, you know, features that we can get rid of to justify this system and yet still have it perform?
Right.
And I think every year they update the iPhone Plastic or the cheap iPhone. And it's finally to the point where from a very real marketing perspective or, you know, market perspective and market share perspective, they're just not making any money in the future of where people will buy phones. There are more users on China Mobile than there are Americans. 2 to 1. There are 800 to 700 million China Mobile users.
That's a lot.
There's like 350 million Americans. There literally are, I mean, it's insane, and they're not selling any because China Mobile doesn't want to sell them because they don't think they can, which is a really, really good reason to change your strategy because that's an unbelievable amount of money that you're passing on in order to sell these. And so what's crazy is it's like they killed it this year in America. They did great. And so for your Western, you know, solidly first world countries, yeah.
You just see, they don't think about it that way.
Exactly. That's the problem.
They think about it in terms of, you know, what's cool technology that we can make that will help people and be accessible to people.
Right.
And so the language that they will use and that I would use if I were them would be to say, here is this group of people, a very large group of people who we have not been able to help. We have not made technology accessible to them. How can we help these people make their lives better?
Right.
Yes, it may mean that we can't use the absolute latest and greatest because they're just not there right now.
Right.
And, you know, just like I like to think that, you know, when they were first making the Mac, I'm sure that they had a dream for, you know, say color screens and stuff and, you know, and having Retina displays, but the technology was just not in a place where they could pull that off. Right.
Right.
Even remotely near a price point that they wanted to hit. And, you know, and the problem is now they can, but they still can't do it at the price point they want.
Right.
And they almost need to step back and say, okay, let's make it accessible to these people. And, you know, let's see if we can help them and tap into this market. And yeah, it'll grow and sales will be awesome. And hopefully we can figure out a way to keep our margins where they are, which enables us to do this amazing research and, you know, make these great products. But yeah, it's an interesting place that they're in.
Yep.
I don't think they care about, honestly, I don't think they care about the sales. That to them is just a metric of how well they're helping people.
Right. And I do think they care about profit margins though. And that's, you know, and,
yes.
Or I should say not profit margins, but profits. And, you know, that's a tremendous number of people who, in order to make any profits off of them, you have to change your profit margins and you have to change your gross price. And that's,
well,
and that's what the game is.
When, David, when the Packard guys, you know, when Dave and Bill started HP, I saw one of the videos on them and they were like, our profit basically is a measurement of the value that we are providing customers.
Right.
That's what it is. So when we have a higher profit, it means that we are providing higher value to our customers. He goes, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And it enables us to go look for other ways to add value to their lives. And yeah, I think it's, you know, but anyways, I mean, HP was, you know, they were the beginning of all these companies lot of altruistic ways of thinking.
So when HP sells printers at a negative profit, what does that mean?
I will not deny that HP definitely thinks differently about those things.
Today?
It is not nearly as altruistic as it was when it first got started. And who knows, that could have just been a video and it was never actually that way.
Right,
that was definitely a market share grab, a market share play.
Right.
Definitely.
Well, and their, you know, their printer, their printers might have negative value added, but their ink cartridges have a tremendous amount
of value
added.
Well, and the trick is to look at the system cost, right? Not just the hardware, but also the ink and toner. And that's what we're saying. HP, you know, they did that for market share reasons because they, you know, followed people's shopping habits and, you know, when they look at prices.
Right. No. I think from a business perspective, it was obviously the best thing to do. It's the most profitable ink. You know, or printing division of any company in the world. It made sense on a tremendous number of levels, and it's not terribly unfair because it's not like as a user you don't know. It's not like the cell companies early on where they'd give you these killer contracts so that you would pick a phone number with them, and then at the end of the 2 years they would double the price of your contract, and you said, well, I'm going to Verizon, and AT&T would go, okay, have fun getting a new phone number. What? what do you mean a new phone number? But this is my number. You know, and That was something that HP, or no, sorry. Totally got distracted.
Verizon.
Thank you. That was something that was unfair practices. That was like, I, you know, and obviously they changed the laws to change that. And I think everybody's happier for it. Whereas I don't think anything that HP is doing is unfair. It's just that, like you said, you do get a discount on the piece of hardware as a consumer, and, you know, and, but you, it's like buying a cell phone.
You
basically,
which really says, I mean, if you think about it, it says, you know, if you don't print a lot, it doesn't cost you a lot.
Exactly. And, yeah, exactly. Actually, it's, I mean, it's not. And,
so the
and
value literally is tied to how much you use it.
Right. And, you know, which you know, some would argue, but it's not really as funny of a joke when you put it that way. It's just kind of a, and, you know, I like to see you squeam.
That's fair. So we got completely distracted from.
Yes.
So you think that the iPhone plastic is coming in?
I think so. Oh, well, okay.
You think that the iPhone math is going to remain a myth.
I think so.
And you think that the iPhone 5S is a complete duh. Why did this even make the rumor mill?
Yeah. That's, yeah. I'm going to say 75% chance iPhone plastic gets announced in October. It's just it makes a lot of sense. I haven't and it's been repeated by more credible sites than, you know, just your like a random Taiwanese website posted this on there. You know, it's, you know, there seems to be a tiny bit of validity to it, but it could be as simple as, you know, the execs at Apple got a little scared, asked, you know, realistically how much would it cost to make, you know, a million of these, and so they did a really big run. You know, that's something that they do frequently, and, you know, by a big run, I mean they made 10,000.
You have as much money as they do, you can do that.
Right, and you know, and so if there, so it's very, I wouldn't just say it's very possible, I'm almost sure that that's what happened. Now the question is, what do they do with that information? And I'm not positive that it's going to actually turn into a product, but, and part of the reason I'm hedging is because I know that just a month ago we predicted that they wouldn't launch any new products. They just do iterative updates, and I don't want to be wrong. So I don't,
good reason. Wait, yeah.
But
it's still January. If you want to change your mind, I think it's still early enough in the process.
You know, and that's why I'm giving it I'm hedging a little bit. I'm doing with the you know, I'm starting to invest in longs, but I'm still keeping a little bit back in shorts just in case to cushion the blow.
All right. Fair enough. That's funny.